Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Plady. President Obama coming out this afternoon to announce that as part of the Affordable Care Act, religious employers such as charities, hospitals, and universities will now not be required to provide contraception coverage to their female employees, but rather these women's insurance companies will need to offer contraception care for free. It's viewed as a political compromise on an issue that was galvanizing social conservatives against the president. And to talk about the latest development, I'm joined by John O'Brien, president of Catholics for Choice. John, thank you for joining me.
Great to be here.
So Catholics for Choice, so you are a Catholic, yet you are pro-choice then, and you do support a woman's right to have an abortion?
We're part of the great majority in the Catholic Church. You know, there's 350 U.S. bishops. The U.S. bishops have certain views on sex and sexuality and contraception. Basically, they're against it. But the majority of Catholics, 58 million of us, we have a very different view. We believe that, you know, we're the ones who have to put bread on the table, have to get our kids through school. So the majority of Catholics here in the U.S. and indeed around the world have a different view, and Catholics for Choice represents that view.
Do you draw the line at abortion, though?
The line is not drawn at abortion. The reality is that some women find themselves in situations where they have unplanned pregnancy. And, you know, within the Catholic tradition, it's important to know that conscience is the final arbiter in moral decision-making. So many women do have abortions who are Catholic. In fact, Catholics have abortions at much the same rate as other women do, of other faiths and of no faith. And that way, it really sort of beggars belief that the Catholic hierarchy these days would be trying to lobby the Obama administration to prevent workers at Catholic-controlled institutions. And those workers, by the way, can be Catholic who use contraception, which the majority of us do, or non-Catholic. And they're trying to prevent us from getting access to contraception as part of the Affordable Care Act. Well, I think there's something very wrong with that, that they failed to convince us in the pews, and now they're trying to use government to stop people from exercising their freedom of conscience and will.
But is this a reasonable compromise for the president? I mean, ultimately, women that work for these religious employers, they won't be affected in terms of their ability to get a free contraception, right?
Well, I was glad to see that the administration did not choose to cave completely to the bishops. But the campaign by the U.S. bishops forces the White House to concede that women's access to birth control is now on a wing and a prayer. The reality of this compromise, it actually relies on insurance companies doing the right thing. Previous compromises like this, and there's one in Hawaii, may have made some conservatives happy. That's what I imagine the Obama administration would like to happen. But they've also meant these compromises that some women have not been able to access coverage in a timely and an easy manner. That's not acceptable. The truth about some of these compromises is the devil is in the details. With the Hawaii compromise, we've had situations where employees were asked to sign forms, waiver forms, acknowledging that they know that their employer disagrees with their birth.
So why is the Catholic Church's opposition, why does it go into birth control so extensively when abortion is really the primary concern, and wouldn't it make sense that more contraception would mean less abortions? I mean, considering we have, 1.2 million abortions a year in the U.S.?
Mike, you know, I have to admit to you, you know, my mind boggles about these things too. You would have thought that the body politic could have recognized that the needs of Americans around being able to control your fertility and make responsible decisions, that's a good thing. You know, as regards to the type of cost that when people have unplanned pregnancies, regardless of the decision that's made, the type of cost personally and in our family life for healthcare, one would have thought that people could have been getting behind contraception. But I think what we're really seeing at the moment is the Republican leadership, sadly, is basically willing to use any bat to beat the Obama administration with. And the bat that they chose to pick up this time is this false idea that in some way the religious liberty of the bishops were being impinged. So what they were hoping to do was to take the contraceptive issue and to take a bogus argument that religious liberty was being in some way compromised, and to have that appeal to their fundamentalist base.
I want to ask you about an issue that is now coming to Michigan. It's been presented in the state house, which is this 20-week law banning abortions after 20 weeks of gestation. We've seen this in several other states, and it's moving the argument over the viability of life of the fetus to fetus pain. Some say it could upend the entire Roe versus Wade law if it does end up in court. Do you view this as a serious threat to Roe versus Wade?
What's very interesting is people who are against abortion, and believe me, it's not that they're against abortion at 20 weeks or 18 weeks or 22 weeks. They're against abortion, period. They don't want American citizens to be able to make decisions in good conscience as to what's right for them and their families. And so they're going to use any sort of thin edge wedge issue in order to destroy a woman's right to choose. And so whether it's later abortion, and whether it's parental notification, and whether it's, you know, both bogus arguments about fetal pain. The reality is that what they want to do is destroy a woman's right to choose. I believe it's a threat.
One thing about the argument that a fetus is life is that in some ways it is hard to disagree with, even for those who are on the pro-choice side of the issue. But I guess the question is it impossible to acknowledge that without then being forced to give up women's right to choose?
I acknowledge, absolutely, as a pro-choice person, that life is present in the womb, and it is human life, and I take it very seriously. By the way, that's what women do. Women here in the United States and around the world, people don't have abortions lightly. I think that the whole concept that women have abortions lightly is a piece of propaganda trotted out by those who want to take away our religious freedoms and our personal freedoms. So people do take it seriously. The fact that life is present, though, does not mean that personhood is there, does not mean that personhood exists. And I think that, you know, the life of a woman and the personhood of a woman is something that we do know factually exists. When the Supreme Court was considering the Roe v. Wade decision, and one of the things that when they read out that decision, they said that, you know, science can't tell us, philosophy can't tell us, and religion cannot tell us and when personhood begins. When that type of doubt is there, you have to leave it to a situation in which the ability of the fetus to survive independently of the woman is not a perfect arbiter, but not a bad arbiter in being able to make a decision from that.
With 1.2 million abortions a year in the U.S., with so many options for contraception now available, do you really think that it's a financial issue, that some women just can't afford contraceptive choices, and that this new law will change that? Or is there something else happening here that's causing so many abortions to be performed in the U.S. every year?
I think the reasons why someone finds themselves with an unplanned pregnancy can be very complex and myriad. And I wouldn't like to reduce it just to, you know, a simple soundbite that says that's the reason why people end up with an unplanned, difficult pregnancy. Our lives are complicated. We're complicated as human beings. We make mistakes. People make mistakes all the time. I don't think that, you know, I've got a child and I really value my daughter greatly. I don't think, though, that a child should be a punishment for making a mistake.
I wanted to ask you this initially, but was there a point in your life where you were pro-life?
I think I am pro-life insofar as I believe in the lives of women. I take the decisions that we make very seriously. I believe in strong families. I believe that, you know, we should have a quality of life that actually celebrates our uniqueness and our diversity. Being pro-choice inherently involves being in favor of life, of women's lives. If you ask me whether I would discriminate in favor of fetal life over that of a woman, I come from originally the Republic of Ireland before I became a citizen here in the United States. And I can tell you there's been many ugly situations in my country where the church hierarchy dictated to politicians that they needed to decide in favor of the fetus over the rights of women.
Well, the one thing that has to be acknowledged, though, is there is a big portion of this country that believes that abortion is murder, and that is driving the other side of this debate.
You know, I believe in many things religiously. As a Catholic, I believe that, you know, in the communion, the body and blood of Jesus Christ is present. This is a personal religious belief that I believe in passionately. I don't want that inculcated into law. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's logical. So people believe in many different things, but we have to be careful what we put into law. I think in a secular society, in a society in which we want diversity, we want people of different religious traditions to feel respected, and we want people of no religious tradition to feel respected. I think leaving decisions with individuals is a good way, a good legal basis to ensure fairness for all.
John O'Brien, president of Catholics for Choice. John, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. I enjoyed speaking to you today.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.